Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Matthew Wolnowitz. Matt, are you ready to do this?
I am, George.
Excellent. Let's do this. Matt has over 20 years of experience in financial services, having spent 7 years with Morningstar, and he is now the president of FI360, an organization whose vision is to have all investors' wealth managed by a fiduciary. I'm excited to have you on. Matt, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
Sure, George. I'm a proud father of three wonderful kids and an awesome wife, and we've been married for just over 23 years. So all's great on the home front.
Nice.
On the professional front, you know, these are very interesting times in the financial services industry. There's been some regulation that came out from the Department of Labor a year ago that recently has been struck down in the courts, and in the political environment currently today of the deregulation environment, it definitely has the impact on individual investors. So at FI360, we're a firm that was founded in 1999 to, as you mentioned, to bring a fiduciary duty of care to end investors so that at the end of the day, they can make more informed decisions about how their retirement assets and their wealth assets are allocated. So whenever it is that they want to retire or whatever financial goals that they want to reach, we enable their financial advisors to provide fiduciary guidance to those end investors.
Excellent. Well, I know that FI360, like you mentioned, has been around since 1999. So this conversation and the belief of the knowledge of how important a fiduciary is to a successful client-advisor relationship is not a new thing to you. You've been working on it for a long time. That being said, I feel like I am at peak fiduciary talk right now ever since the, just like you mentioned, a year ago, the rule was talked about, and then it was enacted, and then the court struck it down. So I think that this is a really timely conversation because I'm hoping that we can sort of cut through the noise and help people really understand what a fiduciary really is, why it's important, all those kinds of questions. So,
sure.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you bring up because I don't think that there's ever been a point in time where there's more general awareness amongst the average investing population about what a fiduciary is. There's several big firms that launched big advertising campaigns, George, just to highlight on the benefits of being a fiduciary. But one of the biggest challenges that investors face is that they would assume that their financial advisor is required by law to operate in their best interest. And unlike a doctor or an attorney or your accountant, that necessarily isn't the case in the financial services industry. And so the idea of being a fiduciary is really about doing what is in the investor's best interest. The standard that exists in the marketplace, though, is one that's known as suitability, which means that the financial advisor just has to make a suitable recommendation for the investor. It doesn't necessarily have to be in their best interest. And so between the difference in suitability and fiduciary, there also is the opportunity for firms to use disclosure to put all these printed documents in front of the investor to somehow mitigate the fiduciary risk. And, you know, as I'm sure that you know, as we receive all these disclosures in the mail, 99% of people don't even begin to read them. And even if they do read them, they can't understand them. And so the difference between a fiduciary standard and a suitability standard of care is pretty significant.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes sense just talking about it. And 100%, I can't even imagine how many folks out there actually read that mountain of paperwork, or to your point, could really understand it. So, okay. So from a level setting, being a fiduciary means that you're legally bound to act in the best interest of your clients, but the industry itself is not necessarily, that's not what's going on in financial services.
That's correct.
Okay. So how do I know? So not everyone is a fiduciary. Can everyone be a fiduciary?
They could be. The difference is that they would have to take the fiduciary status. So they would have to operate in their client's best interests versus just making recommendations that are suitable for that client and the objectives that they want to achieve. So, absolutely, everybody could be a fiduciary if they wanted to.
Okay, and I know that whenever a big rule is put into effect, you mentioned a year ago, this fiduciary standard was going to go into effect, and that caused a lot of companies to sort of, I don't want to say scramble, but it caused them to make some decisions, some of them I would imagine tough, in order to comply. So are all companies set up to allow their advisors to be fiduciaries, or how has this potentially impacted their means of doing business?
That's a great question. You know, we've seen firms all over the board. So there are firms that have really always been fully embraced the fiduciary standard and really have required any of their advisors to operate in a fiduciary matter. To on the other end of the spectrum, firms that feel that suitability is strong enough and they've allowed their reps to work under the suitability standard. You know, we definitely saw over the past year firms invested a tremendous amount of time and money to prepare to meet the minimum legal regulatory requirement, which was that if you advised on a retirement plan or individual investors who were taking money out of their retirement plan and rolling it over to that advisor, they were going to be subject to the fiduciary standard of care. So the vast majority of firms, I would say, George, were very prepared and ready and had spent the money and invested in the technology to enable their advisors to do that. Since the rule has, basically been defeated and dismantled in court, there is one more chance, although it is slim, that it could be appealed to the Supreme Court by, I think it's June 13th. There are firms that are still going to require their advisors to act under the fiduciary standard, and others that have taken their foot off the gas and are leaving it up to the individual advisor as to what standard they're going to adhere to.
Got it. Okay. And that certainly makes sense. I mean, leave it up to the individual company to make their own decisions as to what's important, and then sometimes leave it up to the individual advisor on how they want their relationship with clients to be. You referenced retirement plans and then rollovers. So that can mean when somebody leaves a retirement plan, when they take the money out and roll it into an IRA, for example, the advisor and how they're charging client, there are more specific rules on that. What about other kinds of financial products? How does the fiduciary rule, or rather, how does being a fiduciary, how does that work with other kinds of products?
Yeah, it's a great question. The fiduciary standard really isn't about the product that you use. It's more about the investor's timeline and what they want to achieve, and whether or not you are willing to put any conflicts to the side to be able to help the investor get there. And so an example might be a product that that pays the advisor more than another product or a similar product. If you're operating as a fiduciary, you are going to choose the product that helps the investor achieve their goal, irregardless of how much you are personally compensated. under a suitability standard, two products that are the same and one that pays the advisor more than another product, they can choose the one that pays them more, even though those fees may ultimately affect the return that the investor is going to achieve.
Okay. And so under the scenario, if the advisor who is presenting to client two similar products, a fiduciary would be legally bound to do what was in client's best interest, and in that example, provide them with the quality product that is less expensive.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Well, I think that certainly makes sense. So, all right. So how does a client know if they're working with a fiduciary?
Yeah, it's a that's a great question. When we were founded back in '99, it was to help bring a fiduciary standard of care to the industry, irrespective of wealth or retirement. And the outgrowth of creating a prudent investment process is an industry credential and designation that's called the Accredited Investment Fiduciary. Many times you'll see it on advisors' websites or the business cards as AIF. And then there's also the Accredited Investment Fiduciary Analyst, or the AIFA designation. So the simplest way to find out if your advisor is working as a fiduciary is just to ask them. And if they can't tell you, you can ask them, what credentials they have. So if they're a certified financial planner or a CFP, or you can come to the FI360 website, and we have a tab that's called Find a Fiduciary. So you could enter in the advisor's name and see if they're one of our designees. We've got just over 11,000 active designees who perform to a fiduciary standard of care. But, George, the simplest way to do it is just to ask the advisor if they are a fiduciary.
Got it. Okay. And that's always the easiest thing, is probably just simply to ask. So, all right.
Well, and it is simple, but I would tell you that I think that, that many investors are misled by the title that they might see on the advisor's business card, or under the assumption that some of the biggest and best known firms in the industry, that person has to be acting as a fiduciary. That definitely is not the case. And so it always pays to ask if the advisor is a fiduciary, and just as importantly, if whatever account you're speaking to them about, if they are acting as a fiduciary on that account.
Got it. No. Perception, right? And misconceptions.
And, that's right.
And you're right. I was a little bit trite about just go ahead and ask, but that's, people do avoid having conversations a lot of the time. So it's interesting to me. I was just thinking about some of the different challenges that we've had. Obviously the financial collapse that happened about 10 years ago now. The fiduciary standard, FI360, you are focused on the world of financial advisors. Does the fiduciary, could eventually this spread over to other fields like mortgage brokers, for example?
I never really thought about it, but in that context, really, if you think about it, anybody who's giving advice, I think that in general, the general public certainly likes to believe that those that are giving advice, have a fiduciary backing, so to speak. But, it's interesting. So could mortgage brokers fall into that standard? Boy, I think that's a great idea. You could say, on the other hand, if you walk into a car dealership today and ask for some advice about a vehicle that they might have in stock, I think that everybody would understand there that there's no there's no fiduciary duty of care there. But would it be applicable to other industries? Absolutely. And as we, briefly discussed earlier, doctors, lawyers, CPAs, they already operate under that fiduciary standard. And I think, George, that's one of the reasons why, the vast majority of investors just believe that their advisor is operating as a fiduciary when You know, without asking them that question or having it acknowledged in writing, you just don't know.
No, you certainly don't. And that's a great way to frame this conversation, particularly that of walking into a car dealership. And you and I are certainly not disparaging car dealers, but I would certainly want to know, particularly if I was buying a used vehicle, you know, if in fact the person that I was talking to was acting in my best interest, and that way I wouldn't feel like I was getting the wool pulled over my eyes. So I think that's a great way to think about it.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, you know, and I know that personally the last car that we bought was a certified pre-owned. So just having that title, you know, made me feel better. But is that really substantiated in, you know, case law or regulation? Probably not.
And so what better way to go back to, again, really what your vision is, to have every investor making sure that they're being represented by somebody who has their best interest in mind, and why wouldn't you want that as the investor? And I can speak from personal experience that I've been working in financial services for 17 years, and during that time I've worked for insurance companies, and I've worked for independent registered investment advisory firms, and I guess the point of that is that there are a lot of different kinds of folks walking around interacting with clients and talking to them about financial products, and with different levels of expertise and different levels of skill and different motivations based on how they're compensated. So
that's right.
Even more reason to know legally that the people that you are taking financial advice from do in fact have your best interest in mind. So
yeah, and you know, I know for me personally, it really hit home when my parents retired and my dad asked me to come in and speak with his financial advisor. And, you know, one of the first questions that I asked was about the asset allocation strategy that they had for my parents as they transitioned from, you know, accumulating to deaccumulation and making sure that they wouldn't run out of money. But I also asked him how he was paid. And he looked me straight in the eye and told me that it didn't cost my parents anything. And I've been around long enough to really understand at a deep level that there's, you know, all the different share classes in mutual funds, because my parents were exclusively in mutual funds. And I looked him right in the eye and I told him that he wasn't telling me the truth, because there's always a cost to it. So, you know, with my parents going through it, it became very, very personal to me to make sure that the end investor really understood how the person that was providing them advice was compensated.
What a perfect way to frame that. So need to ask people how they make money, how they're compensated. So I love it. Well, Matt, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I got a big one, George, and it's not going to be any surprise to you. When you get the opportunity to sit down and talk with your financial advisor, ask them if they operate in a fiduciary manner. Ask them if they are a fiduciary on your account. And if you haven't spoken with your advisor in the past 6 months, especially with all the changes that have occurred in the market over the past 6 months, you should really call them today and ask if they operate as a fiduciary.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So thank you for that. And Matt, where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Yeah, the easiest way to find out anything about me or our firm is just go to www.fi360.com.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Matt your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Take his advice. Reach out to your advisors and ask them if they are, in fact, a fiduciary. And go to FI360 and learn more about his organization. So, thank you again, Matt.
Thanks, George. Have a great day.
Yes. Until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.